Okay, let's make a big start. So just to remind you, first of all, I'm leaving this week, so this will be, for this term, this will be the last year. Oh, no, sorry, mistake. The next 2 weeks, there will be a shiur, Rabbi Levi, on Chassidus on Chanukah, so that will be an important shiur. So we'll keep it on for another 2 weeks, just not with me. And then we'll start again next term, and we're going to go back to Tanya, please God. So that's the plan. Okay. So I'm going to look at you today a very interesting thing that they just published, or republished, I should say. It was a mimer that the Rebbe said on just after Simchas Torah, or towards the end of Simchas Torah, 1967, a few months after the Six-Day War. And it was based on something that the previous Rebbe had published around like the late 1930s, early 40s. In other words, it was like... No, so not now, not 30s. One second. Yeah, it was after... like 1943, 1945, 1944. It was in connection with the Holocaust. So they reprinted it because it has a lot of relevance to what's going on now, I think. And it's an interesting perspective, and there's a very important takeaway from it. So, let's see. So it's based on a mimer, it's based on a pasuk, which we know. It's a pasuk which we use on Rosh Hashanah, actually. We have the three brachas of Rosh Hashanah. One of them is the brach of Shofar, and we bring the various psukim, we bring the various verses in the Tanakh that deal with Shofar. There's a pasuk there that talks about Hashem blowing the Shofar Gadol and ushering in the era of Mashiach, right? It's actually the basis of the words we say every single Amidah, right? I'm talking about the weekday Amidah. So the weekday Amidah is, there's a pasuk. Someone there? I'm sorry. I thought Sarah was there, but there we are. So there's a bracha we say every day in the Amidah, which we say, we ask Hashem, Taka b'shoifer gadol cheruseinu, blow the shoifer gadol, the big shoifer, for our freedom, right? The question, what does it mean, the big shoifer? So it comes from a pasuk which this mimer is based on. So let's have a look. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu Hanavi. It says, V'hoyu b'yoyim ahu, it'll be on that day, meaning the day Moshiach comes, it says, Yitoka b'shoifer gadol, there'll be the blowing of the big shoifer. What will happen? Uvohu ha'ovidim b'eres Ashur, all the Yidden will gather together, basically Hashem will gather the Jews together. And the way it's written in the pasuk is that those who are lost in the land of Ashur, which is the land of Assyria, will come. V'hanidochim, and those that have been abandoned or pushed away, be'eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Mitzrayim, will also come. V'shtachavu la'Hashem, and they will bow down to Hashem b'har ha'kodesh, in the holy mountain, Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's the pasuk that we use on Rosh Hashanah. It's the pasuk that we is the basis for that bracha in the Amidah that we say every day, and so on. He says the following. My father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, explains in a mimer which is the same, based on the same pasuk. This is the prophecy of Yeshayahu Hanavi, alazman the achris hayomer, on the time of the end of days, meaning a coming of Mashiach. Uba behemshech, and it comes in continuation. It comes. Because this is the pasuk that's always quoted, but there's actually a pasuk just before that pasuk, which introduces this pasuk, and what does it say? In the same chapter of Yeshayahu HaNavi, the pasuk before, just before, it says, V'hoyo b'yoyim ahu, it'll be on that day, Yachboit Hashem mishiboilis hanor. Hashem will, so to speak, thresh. What does it mean to thresh? It means you'll thresh from the surgeons of the river. Thresh means, like when you thresh wheat, you take out the kernel from the cover, right? Yeah, something like that?
Separating, right.
So Hashem also will separate. He'll take all the Yidden that are lost all over the world, he'll take them out from the river of Anachal Mitzrayim till the inheritance of Mitzrayim. And then it says about Hashem, V'atem to luktu le'echod echod b'nei Yisrael. Hashem will gather in one by one all the Jews from Bnei Yisrael. Rashi has an interesting comment which he makes in Chumash, actually, where he makes reference to this pasuk that he says that, you know, a certain Yidden will be so lost, not only physically, but talking about spiritually also, that Hashem will have to gather them and take them by the hand, that's what he says. Noisim biyodeh, takes by his hand, echad, echad, each Yid, and he'll bring them back. Amazing, amazing imagery, right? So he says, what does this mean? Hine, because bizman ha-golus, we know that in the time of golus, mefuzorim b'nei Yisrael, the Jews are spread out, b'chol katzvei tevel in the entire world. V'ad l'pino nidachas, to the point of being spread out into far flank corners, shabon nimtzoyim rak achodim Yisrael, there are only a few Jews are found there. I mean, we see this today physically. I mean, there are places in the world that are just a handful of Jews, right? Shalochen yitztarech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why Hashem will need to, so to speak, lelaket oisam, to gather them echad echad, one by one, ulashivam leklal Yisrael, and to bring them back into the fold of the Bnei Yisrael. Omnama, we know that kivun shemitzad achoyshuch kapul umuchupul. We'll know that because of the great darkness of the Golos, shebizman haGolos, yeshnam ke'elu, there are those people in Bnei Yisrael, shenishtaku, that they become immeshed, they've sunken in, Farzunken Givorin, he translates in Yiddish, which means like drowned almost, right? Begolus and the Golus, at Kleikach, so strongly, Shanaisu b'maymedu matzev shel oivdim v'nidochim rachman al-Islam. That they become lost and abandoned, like completely not here, right? Which we'll see later on, he explains, not just a physical thing, we're talking about a spiritual thing, right? The pasuk is not so much, we'll see also what does it mean, because today, when Hashem is going to gather in the exiles, he's not taking so many people from Ashur, from Assyria, because I don't think there is anyone in Assyria. I'm not sure which lands cover Assyria today, but not Syria, Assyria, which is, I'm not sure what lands, that's, sorry? Iraq maybe, or around there, those areas, not too many Jews left, anyways. So Hashem's not picking any Jews out of there, but, and Mitzrayim, also not many Jews in Mitzrayim either. But actually it means something spiritual. We'll see later what Ashur stands for, what it means to be lost in Ashur, what Mitzrayim stands for, what does that mean? But Hashem will have to take them all. So we're talking about spiritual lust here also, spiritual distance also, as much as physical distance. Right, so therefore, Eino Muvin, so because they're so lost, that's not really understood. Eich tiskayim yunevu es Yishayahu, how's this going to happen? How's the nevuah of Yishayahu going to happen? Sha'atem to look to le'echad me'yisol, that Hashem will bring every single Jew, one by one. Some of the Jews don't want to even come. They're not even aware that they're Jewish, maybe, right? Achoinyen, met a concept like this. Shal zen ne'mar, that on this it says, v'hoyo b'yoimahu, yitoka b'shoifer godol. That's why it says in the pasuk, the next pasuk says, on that day Hashem will blow a big shoifer. Meaning, she'erev ha'geula, just before the geula, Tia Isarusa de la Eil will be this amazing awakening from above, which is the idea of the shofar. Hashem will blow the shofar. It doesn't mean physically necessarily, it means there'll be this incredible awakening from above, which will be a massive shake up. Shatachri that Ustres, it will be sort of shake everyone up. It's going to awaken every yid from the spiritual slumber, right? That's what's going to happen. Afilu ha'ovdim, even those people who are lost, Eretz Ashur, in the land of Ashur, which we'll see later what that means. V'hanidochim be'eretz Yisrael, even those that are pushed away, be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Mitzrayim. Shegam heim, even they will wake up. V'yavoyu v'yishtachvu, they will come and they will bow down la'Hashem to Hashem, b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim. Right? Okay. So we need to know what that means. We also need to know what does it mean, shofar gadol? Why is it called a shofar? Why did we say shofar? Right. Why is it a big shofar? What does that mean? Right. Okay. So he continues. Says like this: Mamshe ba'maimer, and he continues there in that maimer. The previous Rebbe Shiesh Nam Gam Nevuah Zechariah. That we can have a look at another prophecy which comes from Zechariah. Alazman de Achris Yamim. Also, right, the second chapter. Now. Also about the time and the end of days. Also about Mashiach's times. Ubon Nemra. There it says. The Adonai Elohim. The reason I'm saying Elohim is because, you know, sometimes in Tanakh it's written Yudkei Vavkei with like a certain vowels on top that turns it into Elohim, right? It says Adonai Elohim or Adonai Hashem, the shofar you talk will blow a shofar, V'holach, and he will come b'sa'arois teimon, in the very strong winds of, I don't know what you call it. There was a translation that I looked up, but I forgot what it is. Like very, very strong winds, basically, right? Like tempest winds, tempest sort of. Yeah. Now it's interesting. If you have a look at that pasuk, there's a couple of differences, right? Number one, over here it doesn't say shofar godol. Just a shofar, right? Notice that. It says Vashem Elokim b'shofar yiska. He will blow a shofar. It doesn't say shofar godol, big shofar. Number one. Number two, we'll see later, interesting, that in the first pasuk where it talks about the shofar gadol, it doesn't actually mention Hashem's name. It just says, it'll be in that day, you talk about shofar gadol, he, it doesn't say who, it doesn't say name, it doesn't say Hashem will blow, it just says he will blow with the shofar gadol. Over here it doesn't say that, over here it does say a name, it says Hashem, Hashem alokim. So you need to know what the difference is, right? So we'll see later what that means, just hold it in your head. So in Mavaris, it explains like this. This is what it says, that Hashem Elokim will blow the shofar. The second prophecy, the one we just brought from Zechariah, who are inyan shofar shel milchama. That's a different kind of shofar. That's not the shofar of awakening to do tshuva or to return to Hashem. That's the awakening of war. That's the shofar of war. Shinyonoi, what's the concept of this war? That will be before Mashiach comes. Lahachri v'sarosei shochotu harbei b'chlal v'neged am Yisrael b'bifrat. It's to destroy the enemy that have done such terrible things, and especially against the nation of the Jewish people. Right? Let's go to the next line. Hainu, that means shekol ha'oila, means that, and it says it'll be like, well, let's go back. Okay, hemshech ha'pasuch v'holach b'saris teimon. Soifa chazok ha'shurach teimon, will be a very strong wind. What does that mean? Hainu shekol ha'oila, the entire world, yizdazea, will shake. Beruchai sa'ara, with tempest winds. Mitzan hamul chomesh ben umis, will be such war. And the war won't only be against Jewish people, the wars also will be between themselves. There'll be the war between countries. Alright? You can skip the part that's not highlighted, but basically this is the idea. We know this before Mashiach comes. When countries fight with each other, it's also a sign of Mashiach coming. Right? We're ticking a lot of boxes here. Yeah?
Very sadly, yes.
Huh?
I said very sadly,
yes. The world is a very shaky place at the moment, right? Russia, China, America, this one, that one. Yeah? Now, and that's Judeo, and this is what it means, that Hashem Elokim b'shofar yiska, that Hashem will blow the shofar, meaning he'll generate this sort of destruction of the evil. That's why there'll be these winds, right? Strong winds, it means it'll be like a shake-up, a complete shake-up from the war. Now, that's why when it comes to this, nizkeru beiz shemos. It says both Hashem's names, in the way it's written anyways. Shem Adonai, with shame like an aleph dala nun yud. I don't know if you know this, but every name represents a different attribute of Hashem, right? So Adonai, aleph nun dala yud, shehu shem shel din, it's a name of judgment. When Hashem judges, a judgment that's like mastership, Adon, right? And then he says, "Shem Havaya," the name of Yudkei Vavkei, "Shushem Shol Rachamim." It's the name of mercy, compassion. And we have both names in this pasuk. Ki churban umilchama, destruction and war, heminyanim shol din. That's concept of judgment. Hashem creates wars to destroy the enemy and destroy those people who fought against Jewish people and did terrible things in the world and so on and so forth. That's the idea of din, of judgment. Aval the emes in a din ze in yisharachmin, but this is a judgment which carries concealed within it the concept of mercy, of compassion. Why? Ki noisef lo kach shal deiz nasatar rabin yinachatoyim, because in addition to the fact that through this war there'll be some sort of purification of the world, purification for the terrible stain of terrible evil that has taken place from the transgressions and so on, but also hareiz mulchamazu, this war ba'ofen shal saris teimon, this war that Zechariah is describing as the strong wind war, mahava achona v'achshara, creates a preparation and paves the way, mesuyem is a certain sort of preparation, l'gula ashlema, to the redemption of the day Mashiach tzedkein. Redemption of Mashiach. That's why I have both names. It's the idea of din, it's judgment. That's why I have the name Aleph Nun Dalet Yud, the name of Adonai, as we call it. And then you have also the shame of Yudkei Vavkei, which is the idea of rachmim, because out of it will come rachmim. Then he says like this, that's one shofar. And that's a shofar that is blown from Rachamim and Din, judgment and mercy. It's blown by Hashem Elokim, and it's not a shofar. Godel is just a shofar. After that prophecy, that's what he says will happen when Mashiach comes. After that prophecy, that Hashem Havaya will blow the shofar, and there'll be the strong winds of war. It's the birth pangs of Mashiach, the suffering that takes place before Mashiach. Erev ha-geula, before the geula. In the achrazeh, after that, the yiska b'shoifer godel. Then will come the shofar godel. Then will come the big shofar. Shinyono shol tkiyo zu, hikriyo shol kiruv. It's a different kind of blowing. This, it's a calling, it's a tkiyo, it's a blowing of the shofar, which is a call of love. There's no din there, it's just a call of love. Me'avinu shabashmayim for our Father in heaven. He translates in Yiddish, Hashem Yisbarach's Fater lecha kiruv dikaruf. It's the words of the previous rabbi. His fatherly, close, lovingly call. Which will be le'oirer es nekuda sayadus, to awaken the essence of Jewishness. Shebekol echod ve'echod ne'isol, every single Jew. Right? Afilu ha'ovdim ve'nidochim, even those people who are very, very far away and lost in Ashur and in Mitzrayim. So what he's saying is, and he's going to explain later why it doesn't say Hashem's name there in that passage, but there'll be two shofars. Mashiach comes with two shofars. One shofar is a shofar of war, and one shofar is a shofar of Godel, an awakening of Yiddishkeit within everyone, right? Okay. Let's go to Gimel. Just skip on the next paragraph. Go to one where it's highlighted. Hine, he says like this. Kriyazu, this calling of Hashem, this shofar God, shel kiru me'avinu shebashamayim, which is there, lo'oireres nekudas hayadu shebuchol echad v'echad v'yisrael, which is there to awaken the Jewishness in every single Yid, afilu ho'ovdim v'anidochim, in those that are lost and pushed away, Nikras Hashem Shofar Godel. This is called Shofar Godel, which means that at spiritual level, Shelemailo Mishofar Stam. It's higher than the regular Shofar. In other words, Shofar without Shofar Godel and Shofar Godel represent two levels of godly revelation. Right? The Shofar is one level, that's the Shofar of war, but then there's a higher level, which is there to awaken the Yiddishkeit within everyone, that's the Shofar Godel. What does shofar stam mean? It means that's the one we spoke about in the other pasuk. Hashem avaya you shofar yitka shofar stam. So the shofar God will be higher than that shofar. Not only that, ulemailo gam me'ashofar the matan Torah. The shofar that Hashem is blowing to Asher in Mashiach and awaken Yiddishkeit with everyone is higher even than the shofar that was blown in Rosh Hashanah, at matan Torah, at the Hasina. You know there was a shofar blown in the Hasina also, right? As it says, yeah. Shirak koil hashofar. It says the voice of the shofar was very strong. So it was a very strong revelation. Kol Godel was called a big voice, but not a shofar Godel, right? Avla shofar Godel, avla shofar atzmoi hoya shofar stam. But the shofar itself of the Matan Torah was a very high level. It produced a kol Godel, a very high sound, very big sound, but it wasn't called a shofar Godel. And therefore we understand. Shofar de la Asid Lover, the shofar of Mashiach's coming, Shanikra shofar Godel, who the Mailagama shofar of Matan Torah is even higher than the shofar of Matan Torah. Now, the next few lines, he brings a cute little proof of this. Ukamuven Nagami Mashakosta, a Pirke de Rabbi Lazar. It can also be understood with what we learn in the Pirke de Rabbi Lazar. Pirke de Rabbi Lazar is a kind of medrash, right? But Indian Eloi Shal Yitzchak, about the ram of Yitzchak, right? You know this, that after Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak to the Akedah, so Hashem told him to take him down, not to shecht him. And then it says, Avraham Avinu turned around and he saw a ram that was tangled in the thickets of the bush. In Pirkei Avos, it says that ram was there waiting from the time the world was created. And Avraham Avinu took it and he brought it as a burnt offering on top of the Mizbeach. But the Pirkei that Rabbi Lazar says that the shofars didn't go on the Mizbeach. The shofars didn't go on the altar. What happened to the shofar? It says, Shekeren shall smoil the left horn. Nishma Koila Har Sinai was blown by Hashem on Har Sinai. That was the voice heard at Har Sinai, the voice of the shofar, which was the left shofar of the ram of Yitzchak, right? The Keren Shal Yamin and the right one, Shugodl Mahasmol, which was greater than the left one, Asir litkaya by asir lavai will be blown asir lavai. So there you see also that Taka the shofar of Matan Torah was an amazing shofar, but not as great as a shofar of Mashiach, which was the right shofar, the bigger one, on the Ram of Yitzchak. Now, what does this mean? The inyan b'zeh, the concept is as follows. In order to awaken the, you know, he uses the word here, nekudas hayadus. Let me just explain. Nekudas hayadus means what we call the pintal yid. It's the deepest level of the neshama, right? What that means basically is this following, right? We talk about on Yom Kippur a lot. So we know the neshama, we have a special neshama, it's called nefesh, at least the godly soul. That neshama is divided into five parts, right? There's a medrash that says, Chamisha Shemois Nikra Olah, there were five names given to the neshama. What is that? Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. So there's three levels called Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. So Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama refers to the three conscious levels of the neshama. Nefesh is the layer of action, behavior, and so on. Ruach is emotion, feelings, and neshama is intellect, cognition, right? That's the conscious part of the human being. Chaya, the one that's above, is more subconscious. That's like the conviction, the drivers, the will, the desire of the person. And then Yechida is the point of the neshama, right? The, we call the nakuda, the tip of the neshama, right? The essence of the neshama, the core of the neshama. That core of the neshama, we know that all the other four levels can be damaged. They can. They can be not revealed. They cannot be working properly. A person can behave badly. A person can respond emotionally in a negative and toxic and destructive way. A person can have distorted thinking. A person, even subliminal thinking, right? It can be affected. Even our subconscious can be affected by the things we do wrong. And everything, every time that happens, it pushes the neshama more and more to be hidden, right? But we know that there's one part of the neshama that's never damaged, right? And it's always there, and it's always complete and always pure. And that's the fifth level, that core of the neshama, right? What it can be, however, it can be very hidden, right? But it's a very important part of the neshama, because when we've managed to damage every single part of the neshama, how do we come back again? How do we reconnect? We reconnect by somehow discovering and igniting and attaching ourselves and connecting to the nekuda sayadus, that fifth level, the pintal yid. And from there, we repair and rebuild, right? In other words, how does tshuva come? So when we say that Hashem will blow a shofar before Mashiach comes, right? And that shofar is going to be to awaken the Yiddishkeit within every single person. Meaning, what it's going to be, it's going to bring a basic idea of tshuva. It's going to bring, every Yid is going to be shaken up, right? Where's it going to come from? But there's the Yidden that are lost. And this could include any of us. I mean, we could be all, the lust has many levels, by the way, right? I mean, we like to think of it in absolute terms. It means Yid that knows nothing about Yiddishkeit. We shouldn't think we're just talking about an abstract person, about someone who lives somewhere else. Could be us also. We're also lost to a certain degree, right? So how do you rev it up? How do you reignite that nekuda sayadus? That needs a very high infusion of something. It needs a very high revelation. To bring us back to tshuva means to reignite that pintal yid, which is so deep. That's a shofar gadol. That's the big shofar, not just a regular shofar. Right?
Do we all come from the same nekuda?
Yeah. Yeah. We have different manifestations of that nekuda.
We don't all go back to that same single point.
No, we all have a nekuda in our neshama, which is the same thing as everyone else's nekuda. That's where we mamash one. That's where there's no differences between one yid and the next. All the differences that exist are all on the conscious level. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, even chayim maybe. But not yichida. From the yichida point of view, it's the part of us which is one, which is bound up with Hashem, where there's higher than differences. It inspires differences. It inspires a different mission each year, maybe. But at its core, it's all the same. Right? Just to give you a little bit of an example of what this means. I mean, this hasn't happened yet in its entirety, but we saw that there has been many times, even in recent history, where there's been some sort of awakening where it does do this. You can see one of the things, amazing stories I once heard from, there was a guy here many, many years ago in Oslo, Belvedere Hill. There was a guy that came, he was the chief rabbi of Poland. I've forgotten his name, anyway, doesn't matter. And he spoke so that, what happened was, there was a guy in Sydney that had studied, he spent a few years in Poland studying in the Kodale. So So he knew him. So when he came out here, I went to hear him speak. It was very fascinating. And he said, there's a whole interesting thing that's happening in Poland. I don't know if it's still happening, but at that time it was still happening. Where people just suddenly show up, pop up, and they want to convert. Right? And then you kind of dig very deep, and you find actually they're Jewish. Because that's what happened after the Holocaust, right? People were hidden, people were this. People were in monasteries, a lot of people were discovered, but not everyone, right? So there are people, I know this is true, Rabbi Lazar always says about Russia, communism did a very good job, and they really erased almost the Jewishness of many, many people. To the point, he says that they think, I just remember I saw an interview with him, that Chief Rabbi of Russia, so they asked him how many Yidden are in Russia, and he says they think it's much bigger than the official number. Because, right? And then suddenly and he says there are people, he was telling stories, I don't remember exactly all the stories, a long time ago, but he was telling stories like in Poland, of people like just suddenly they want to wear tzitzis and they want to do things Jewish, and like really, really strange. Right? I don't know if some of you ever saw the Tisha B'Av video that we showed here from Yoel Gold. Also, a very fascinating story of a whole community in South America somewhere that converted. And the pastor became the rabbi. No, he converted first. He went and he came back and he resigned from his church, said, I don't think this is right. And he went to Yeshiva and the whole fasting is a few hundred there. And they reckon, they all went through halacha conversion, but they actually think that they're Jewish because they could have come from the Moranos who came from Spain. That's where a lot of them came from. Because they had in their church, you have this thing, they had this thing about lighting candles and having some sort of even mikveh sort of ritual. They had no idea, had no connection to Yiddishkeit, but it was left over from somewhere, right? I'm just giving you an example of that sometimes, just something like the neshama of you just like finds its way, right? We find that happening. Sometimes just neshamas make their ways, right? Fascinating stuff. So what is that? But Mashiach comes down with everyone. In other words, everyone will reignite. And for that to happen, it's a shofar gadol. There must be an amazing shofar, right? Let's start this paragraph here. Vinyan. Even those that are lost and pushed away, the level of shofar, just shofar without shofar gadol, doesn't work. And this is the difference between a shofar, the matan Torah, and a shofar, the lasi love it. This is the difference between the shofar of the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai to the shofar of Mashiach. Shematan Torah, you must speak shofar stam. When the shofar was blown at when the shofar was blown in Matan Torah, it was good just to have a shofar without a shofar gadol. Why? Because we learn that kivun shebnei yisrael oz madreges tzaddikim. The Yidden were at the level, when they came to the Har Sinai, they were on the level of a tzaddik. They needed to still connect, they needed to reveal the neshama, but they were on a good level. There was nothing in them because they were given a complete start. You know that the Yidden at Matan Torah were all converts. That's what we started the whole day. It was a nation of converts because it was a clean slate, completely. Everything in the past was erased, right? There was an absolute tshuva of anything. It was the neshama was ready to move, right? It just needed awakening, it needed connection, it needed choosing of the Eden, it needed a whole thing, but a good shofar was good for that. When we talk about Yidden or in Golas, and we know why do we go into Golas, like we say in davening in Musaf and Yontif, that the initial Golas came because of transgression. And Yidden are still far away. And there are people, shenasu b'maymedu matziv shel oivdim v'nidochim. There are people that are lost and completely pushed away. They're not tzaddikim. In other words, the country, the neshama has become very, very hidden. That pintel yid, that nekudas hayadus, has become extremely buried. Right? And where are they buried and where are they lost? So it says, the pasuk says, and this, now we can explain what those two things mean. Ha'oivdim be'eretz Ashur, they're either lost and abandoned in Ashur or in Mitzrayim. What's the difference? Shem Shei Suge Golus. Ashur and Mitzrayim are not geographical places. They are two places that represent two types of spiritual exile. What is that? Golus Ashur, this exile of Ashur, which why they can coexist, by the way. Some people experience one, some experience the other. Ashur is Meloshin Oysher V'Tainug. Ashur comes to the word Oysher, like Osher also, which means delight, pleasure, tainug. What does that mean? Like by the tribe of Osher, this week's parasha, Leah called Oshri ki ishruni bonos. She said that that usher will be very handsome and he'll have a lot of oil, he'll be fat, and all and the girls will want to marry him, all this kind of stuff, right? Right? In other words, that it was a very, very fat and good land. Shoisa, the land of Osher, because of Osher. Shoisa Eretz Toiva was a good land, the land of Eretz Israel, and especially the Chalik of Osher. Kedivre Sancheirev Melech Ashur, and the Sancheirev, when King Sancheirev came, the king of Assyria, and he wanted to take the Yidden to Ashur, and he tried in a diplomatic way. I don't know if you know the background here. There was during the first Beis Hamikdash, there was a king called Ashur, Sancheirev, right? And he exiled the ten Shvatim, not the last two. He wasn't able to conquer Yerushalayim. But his tactic was a very powerful king, and he moved people from one place to another, just to divide and conquer. That was the best way to displace everyone, and that would be losing one control. So he came to the tribes of Yidden, and they didn't want to go, because they were in love with Eretz Yisrael. So he said to them, don't worry, I'm going to take you, El Eretz Ka'atzcha, I'm going to take you to a land like your land. Don't forget, I'm the king of Ashur. You'll all be with your trees and your vineyards and everything will be okay. Right? So what does it mean spiritually? What's a person lost in Ashur mean? When a person is so buried in v'taivus v'tinugim, in temptation, in pleasures, in pursuit of pleasure, materialism, gashmi mal yedei atza yetzer, and this comes from the Yetzirah HaRish, right? That Yetzirah HaRish starts slowly. He says, today, just to, first, the Yetzirah says, just be very immersed in materialism. But the best heksher, just eating the best restaurants. I mean, nothing wrong eating in a good restaurant. But I'm saying, but like as terms of obsession and being, right? All with the best heksher, right? The fanciest retreats, the fanciest this, all these things, right? All kosher, right? But he says what can happen is, one thing can lead to another. What happens is, people become buried in that. Buried in that materialism. That's the goalist of Asher. Shezeut comes to such a point, I don't want to even go out of Golas. Right? It's a very well-known problem. And everything is going really well, which of course that's where we wanted to go. And everyone has wealth and comfort and pleasure. And we not only they have wealth and comfort and pleasure, but they're immersed in it and buried in it. What happens is, then what's missing? Like, such a Yid doesn't need Mashiach. Everything's fine, so what do we need Mashiach for? So that can be a really deep goal. Now that can happen on many, many levels. It can happen on a person that's completely distant from Yiddishkeit because of that. Or it can happen even a person that who's comfortable, who's doing well in Yiddishkeit, but still very immersed in materialism, right? That's Golas Asher, right? So that's a person who's really buried and he's not inspired. He doesn't need to go to Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't need to go into Geula. The Golas Mitzrayim, by the way, this is what it says in Parshas Kedoshim, right? The famous Ramban. There's a mitzvah, it starts with this, right? In Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy. What kind of mitzvah is that? Every mitzvah is being holy. What kind of separate mitzvah is to be holy? So the Ramban explains, means to be holy in things that are permissible. Right? The Ramban uses a very, very sharp expression there. He says, the Torah is telling us, Shaloi tehei novol b'rishus ha-Torah. You shouldn't be a lowlife with the permission of Torah. I mean, a guy was saying, a guy's a lowlife, he's just immersed in materialism, he has no spiritual sensitivity, and he says, it's all with the permission of the Torah, it's all 100% kosher, 100% good, he keeps Shulchan Aruch, everything, but his mind is somewhere else, right? That's the goalus of Asher, and eventually that leads to becoming more and more buried in and more and more distant from Yiddishkeit. So that's the goalus of Asher. What's the goalus Mitzrayim? The goalus Mitzrayim is the goalus of oppression. It's different, right? Shoisa eres misugeresh afilu ever dechal yochal yirchomene. It's like Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim was such an impressive state that even one slave couldn't escape. V'shomo yokoshi ashib l'avoydes perach. And there was a terrible, terrible persecution of very hard and slave labor. And they would torture babies, put them as part of the whole walls, it's the whole thing, right? And then what happens is, and because of this pressure, and because of this oppression and persecution, it's possible, a person can become pushed away, can become very distant from Yiddishkeit, not because of materialism and comfort, but because of oppression. Remember God of Israel, like happened in Boris Mitzrayim. So we're talking about people who are so distant that they need dochim and oivdim, right? They lost or they pushed away, either in the goalus, spiritual goalus of Ashur or the goalus of Mitzrayim. So he says, then, just go to the next highlighted line there. He says, then, azai loy maspika his oirurus shall do shofar stam. Then the regular level of shofar is not going to do the trick. Kamaya shofar de matan Torah. That needs a very deep shofar, the shofar gadol. What is that shofar gadol? So we know, just before we get to the next part, in the next halal part here, right? You know, like, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we talk about this a lot, right? You know, in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we say this Tehillim that we're saying now a lot, right? Shulamalas mimamakim yikort Hashem, from the depths, right? The depths. And the question is, what depths of what? Right, so the Zohar asked the question, depths, we're calling Hashem from the depths. Depths of what? Right? And also depths is in plural. Not from the depth, from the depths, right? So the Zohar says there's two depths we're talking about. The depth of the Yid connecting to the depth of Hashem. What does that mean? So we know that there's different ways to have a relationship, right? Sometimes we can have a relationship with a child, for example, that's, I mean, there's always a very deep relationship, and like, you know, always when a child is born, there's like an unbreakable bond between parent and child, which brings about unconditional connection, unconditional love, right? But as time goes on, that relationship, that very deep relationship, which can't be measured by anything, it's just the essence of who the child is connecting to the essence of who the parent is, like just an essential connection, right? But with time, that unbreakable deep bond fades into the background, and it's more of a conscious relationship that involves behavior, involves accomplishment, involves achievement, right? That's what we consciously engage with. We're not so much, right? And therefore, it's more the expressive traits of the parent that is connected with the expressive traits of the child, right? It's different. Come on, the child does something else. You're happy if he does well on a test. You're happy if he didn't do his homework. You're very upset with him, right? So that's a different. That's not a relation. That's not a relation coming from my essence. It's a relation coming from my thinking, from my emotions, and it's relating and engaging with the child's thinking and their emotions, right? Okay. What happens when it all goes wrong and the relationship becomes estranged because the child's not accomplishing and not behaving and not doing anything right? So there's no relationship on a conscious level anymore, right? There's no rational relationship anymore. He's not, right? It's just broken. There's only one way to restore that relationship, and that is to go very, very deep and go all the way back to the essential relationship, which was apparent when the child was born. Why did I say that? Because the child was born, there's no conscious relationship. The child hasn't accomplished anything. And I know when we have children, we all think it's very, very, they're very smart and very bright when they're five hours old, but it's actually not true, right? I mean, maybe they are, I don't know, but maybe they will be. But there's no proof of it, no evidence of it right now, right? Yeah. So, they don't even smile, right? There's nothing. So why do I love the kids so much? Because it's mine, that's why. Right, you go to hospital. You birth to a child. There's 100 babies there. You don't love them all. You just love yours. Why? Because it's yours. That's why. For no reason. It's because there's an essential bond, parent and child bond. Right. But as I said, that relationship goes in the background after a while. But when all else fails, you've got to strip down to the very, very, very depths of it. You've got to down to the very essential relationship, which was the essence of the parent connecting with the essence of the child. And essentially that's what tshuva is, right? Tshuva is that, but tshuva, when we talk about tshuva, in other words, more we trying to do that ourselves, and we arouse, we go back to our essence of Anashama, which connects to the essence of Hashem, right? So in other words, the whole year round, maybe we have a relation with Hashem that's more Hashem's rational expectations appealing to our rational part of us, right? Hashem's chesed, asking us to the chesed, his guru, etc. But when it comes to the 10 days of tshuva, we say, Shira malas mimamakim kurasicha Hashem. I call to you from the depths. Which depths? My depth and your depth. In other words, we go back to the very beginning. And we say, the essence of a yid is going to connect to the essence of Hashem. Where there's no reasons, and there's no logic, and there's no mitzvahs, there's no nothing. It's just the essence of me with the essence of Hashem, bonding again. Going back to that essential relationship, where it's unbreakable and it cannot be destroyed. And then from there we repair and rebuild, right? But, so this is the shofar gadol. The shofar gadol is not the shofar, the regular shofar. The regular shofar, which is the shofar of war, or the shofar of Matan Torah, that's a rational shofar. Like we said before, the shofar of war, that's din. There's a rationale to it. Hashem is going to, there's wrongdoing, Hashem needs to purify the world, there's judgment, there's rachamim, and he shakes up the world for that. This shofar, which is about taking the yid out of the depth of the golus, Ashur and Mitzrayim, that's not going to help. The yid is lost, he's buried there. Talk to him till blue in the face about Torah and Mitzrayim. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Right? He doesn't want to know what you're talking about. So then what can Hashem do? Hashem can blow a shofar gadol, a big shofar. A shofar gadol is coming from Hashem's essence. Saying, I'm crying to you from my essence, so to speak, which is touching the essence of your neshama, and awakens the pintali, it awakens the nekudas hayad, the essential Jewishness. Right? In Mashiach, yeah. For those that didn't do it, no, Hashem initiates it, yeah. Hashem at least facilitates it, yeah. Oizois, then go back to the last part which is highlighted. It's like Oizois, and more than that, the Gabi Shofar Stam, Ksiv Adonai Hashem B'Shofar Yitak. That says the names of Hashem. Why? Because that's a rational thing. It's got to do with Hashem's rachamim and Hashem's chesed. Hashem's not the essence of Hashem. It's got to do with Hashem's manifestations. Hashem's attribute of judgment. Hashem's attribute of rachamim. Hashem came to shofar gadol. But when it comes to the shofar gadol, ksiv yitaka just says he'll blow. But lo niska me'atakeh, it doesn't say who's blowing. Why? Go to the next part. Because that shofar gadol is a call from Hashem from the highest levels, from the most hidden and deep parts. From Hashem's expression, where it's Hashem the way he transcends the concept of a name. Right? We know that Hashem doesn't really have a name. That was the famous thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked him in the burning bush, he said, Hashem, what's your name? I'm going to go back to Mitzrayim. I'm going to say there was someone's to redeem. They're going to say, who? Right? Give me a name. So Hashem said, I don't have a name. Why? Because I'm called according to, depends what I'm doing at the time. What does that mean? So this explains because Hashem, a name is a definition, a name is a description. Right? You can't describe Hashem. Hashem transcends definitions. But he sometimes chooses to manifest himself in a particular way. So he manifests himself with chesed, with rachamim, with din, all those kind of things. But when Hashem calls and wakes up our etzem and Hashem, he's not calling to us from one of his names. He's calling to us from him. The deepest part of Hashem, the essence of Hashem. Shu b'chinu shu l'nitpas shum oysu l'mizakal cannot be described in any way. Shu ha'pnimis de'lokus ha'kishura u'mo'ireres ha'pnimis ha'nashava is the essence of godliness which comes and wakes up the essence of the neshama. He says the next part, Shuzeu b'chinas ha'yechida shebenefesh. That's the yechida, the pintaliyit, shenikras b'shem yechida, it's called yechida, ha'shem iskashlus and b'chinas yochid, because that yechida of the neshama is one with the yochid, the oneness of Hashem. Ad l'etzem ha'neshama shalamayla gam is yechida, it's like the very, very deepest part of the neshama. And he says in the last part, v'alidei zeh, dafke yis'oiru gam ho'ivdim b'eretz Ashur. And therefore, when that happens, then even those that are lost in the land of Ashur, those that are pushed away to Eretz Mitzrayim, will wake up, bo v'shtachvu l'Hashem, and they'll come and bow down to Hashem, bo'ifen detrukzu echod echod be'ula mitzvah v'ashlema. Adei Mashiach tzidkeinu shkalin chesal b'karim mamish, and it will still happen through the perfect gula, which will happen through Mashiach, speeding our days. Now, when the Rebbe said this mimer, it was a farbrengen that that year, which is after the Six-Day War, always the Rebbe would have a farbrengen at the end of a yontif. But when Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, it was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos that year, so he would do the Simchas Torah farbrengen the next afternoon, like in the Shabbos Bereishis, but it was in honor of Simchas Torah. So this is when he said this mimer, and afterwards he spoke a whole talk. And talk was, and he sort of said, what did he want from this? What did he want by saying this mimer? Why will I? It wasn't Rosh Hashanah. I mean, this is a mimer, you can say Rosh Hashanah, it's about Shofar, right? Why did he say it then? So he said the following. He said that his plea, in a way, was, he said that the previous Rebbe wrote this mimer. In other words, there's two things here. There's the shofar of war and the shofar of awakening, right? The shofar of war, he said, is the shofar which is supposed to shake us up. It's supposed to shake everyone up, right? And he made a very sharp comment then. He said that it was different to the Six-Day War. He said in the Holocaust, by the way, it's interesting, it was a very fascinating sikh. I just read it recently. The Rebbe, by the way, never spoke, very rarely spoke with at length about the Holocaust, you know? I mean, he did it privately to people. But he never dwelled on it so much in public. And I think the reason, I think he even said so, why? Because it was all about rebuilding, right? I mean, there were times he made reference to it like that, but it was, the emphasis wasn't about remembering, it was about let's rebuild, right? We've got a job to do, let's rebuild this big destruction. But there were times there, in this particular sikhi, he did speak about it quite sadly in a way. And he said that it didn't have the effect, like, I think he's referring to the Yidden in America, like they, I guess also people didn't know what was going on, you know, it was. People don't talk about this a lot. And he never spoke about this either, but in that Fabrangian he did. He said there was a bit of a disconnect between Jewry in America and Jewry in Europe. And historically that's true, but no one wants to talk about it because it's a very uncomfortable thing, right? I mean, America as a government was also very, there were a few, there were demonstrations, there were trying to get Roosevelt, and you know, all kind of stuff, but there wasn't much of a, people knew and they said to him, but they didn't actually know the extent of what was happening, I suppose. It didn't really affect, right? And he said there was like, even that first shofar meant to shake everyone up. He said now, with the context of him discussing was bringing up the Six-Day War. Six-Day War was a massive thing. Everyone knew about it. It was like, shook everyone up, right? And then he said his Oros, the awakening afterwards, was also amazing. In other words, after the Six-Day War, there was an amazing awakening, Yiddishkeit-wise, I'm saying. There was like this huge surge of, even the very secular people came to the coastal and they davened. It was like an amazing thing, right? So a little bit, it was a taste of the shofar gadol, right? But he said that we have to do, the Rebbe said, many tzaddikim said that this after Six-Day War was an amazing awakening, potentially to bring Mashiach. It obviously didn't happen, but maybe it wasn't meant to happen, maybe we didn't do it properly, but it wasn't the time yet, I don't know, whatever the reason is. But that was the kind of thing that was going on, right? So I think, and I guess that's why they reprinted it, I think one can relate it to what's going on now. I think it's two things now. We see a shofar of war, which is a tough shofar, and that has shaken up everyone. Very, very differently, because it's much, I think partly because we're much more connected. It happened very intensely on one day, and everyone knows someone that's affected. I mean, Yidden all over the world were mamash like shaken. So I think that shofar, the first shofar is happening, right? And there's also a taste of what's at the beginning of the shofar gadol. I mean, there's an amazing awakening in Yiddishkeit that's happening there. But I think our challenge now is to make sure it stays, like to somehow extend that so that it could be the real shofar gadol. Mr. Shem. Which will usher in the era of Mashiach. But we can't go to sleep. We've got to hearken to the shofar. It's still going on. All right, we'll stop there.